So I was asked to give the message today, and as I was going throughout my weeks before today, the love of God came to me in a couple different ways, so I wanted to share today some things about what the Bible tells us about the love of God and how it's so important as Christians that we need to understand that the love of God is unique and very significant, and we should treat that in our lives as such. Philip Yancey said, "There's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less." And that is the truth of the Bible that gives to us. And in John 3:16, as we all know, that's a very popular verse, but I wanted to read a couple verses before and after that verse as we talk about the love of God today. In John chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." How many different religions can you name? You don't have to tell me, but if you want to think about that question, and of those religions that you can name, what do they believe in? We have a lot of religions in this world. Actually, if one tried to start counting, there would be more than 4,000 religions. Here are some examples of religions in the world besides Christianity, besides... people believe a lot of things. People don't believe in the Bible. People don't believe in the God that we believe in. What are some different ways that people believe in God? What are some different gods that people believe in? Judaism is one, and we all know that because that's where Christianity comes from. But people still believe that they don't believe in Jesus, and that Jesus came, died, and rose again for our sins. And those people that still believe in the Hebrew Bible and the Torah are Jews. Mormonism is a Christian cult, and they take the Bible, but they believe in falsehoods. They take it and believe in man's truth and not God's truth. Buddhism believes in countless rebirths, and then also, which they think is a bad thing, a Buddhist seeks to end rebirths. That's their plan of salvation. Buddhists believe that a person's craving, aversion, and delusion causes rebirths, and so their goal is to purify their heart and to try to get out of the endless countless rebirths that they believe in. Hinduism, most Hindus worship one being of ultimate oneness, but they also believe in many gods and goddesses, and they worship those in idols, temples, rivers, animals. And Islam, we know a lot about Islam because that's been in the news. Islam teaches that there's one supreme God who is worshipped through good deeds and discipline religious rituals. After a death, person is rewarded or punished according to their devotion. So what do these religions and more than 4,000 other religions in the world have in common? What they have in common is you have to do something to get something. Salvation is possible, but you have to do X, Y, or Z. Now, some Christians make the statement that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. This argument defines religion as a set of rules or ceremonies that are used to worship and gain access to God and salvation. The argument here is that the point is that Christianity is not centered on following rules, nor is it about completing a number of requirements, ceremonies, sacrifices. Christianity is the belief that God loves humanity, and through God's love, we gain access to God and salvation. Salvation is a free gift that God offers us. The slogan points out that the fact that among other beliefs in the world, Christianity is unique. Technically, religion, this argument that Christianity is a religion, not is not a relationship, is great, but it's not technically correct, because if you were to define religion better, it would be a broader sense. It would be more like a system of beliefs that held to with faith, or it could be a belief in God or a group of gods. So religion, in a broader sense, is something you believe in, and usually relates to believing in to a God. So in a broad sense, Christianity is a religion. But the amazing truth is, among all the other religions in the world, our faith, your faith, is one of a kind. Compared to the thousands of other religions in the world, Christianity stands out because of the truth of God's love. Other religions focus on what a person needs to do, what rules a person needs to follow, or what sacrifices a person needs to give to find peace and enlightenment. Christianity is not about what we do to earn grace, but it's about what God has done for us. The truth of the gospel in the Bible tells us that God loves you, and through God's love comes hope and salvation. So the love of God shouldn't be taken lightly, because it is the cornerstone of Christianity and the hope of all people. The love of God is the cornerstone of Christianity and the hope of all people. Therefore, our actions should reflect the love of God in our lives. In our society, love is talked about a lot. Love is idolized, worshipped. We hear love in the movies. We hear love, all types of different loves in our culture. So when we talk about the love of God, we kind of minimize it, because we think it's not a big deal, because we hear love in everywhere. But if you look at other religions and you look at what the whole world has to say about salvation, about retaining, gaining access to God, love is the most unique thing in the world. And when we look at the Bible, the most popular verse in the Bible is John 3:16, because of this love of God. It's popular for a reason, because it sums up the Bible in one sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the hope and the promise that we believe in as Christians. This is what sets us apart from all the other religions in the world. It's the love of God. So what does this key verse in the Bible tell us about God's love, and what can we learn about God's love? This verse is so powerful, it's so full of content, that we can just take a couple words and find great lessons in those words. As I was studying about the love of God, my wife actually was looking for information about the love of God and John 3:16, and we found a sermon from Stephen Dowell, a pastor in Nebraska. And he broke down John 3:16 and looked at each word or group of words and shared lessons of that. The sermon did a good job of going through each part of this verse, and I wanted to share some of it with you today. And then I wanted to share with you what kind of actions that we can take from the lessons that we get from John 3:16. The first group of words that we want to focus on in John 3:16 is, for God so loved. And that truth that those words tell us is that God loves. I was speaking to a coworker recently, and this is why I wanted to speak about the love of God. And when I was speaking to the coworker, we spoke of how other religions didn't believe in the love of God. Even new religions that begun after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ failed to show the truth of God's love. that God does everything for you. Even Christian cults like Mormonism, which base their truths and faiths on the Bible, stray away from the grace of God. They go back to the point that you need to do something to get to heaven. Why do we keep straying away from the truth of God? The truth that John 3:16 gives us is not from man. It is from God. The world, with over 4,000 attempts at finding God, has proved that the idea of God's love is truly from God alone. And just as God has loved and forgiven us, we need to do the same in our lives. Indifference, selfishness, and hatred are easy. They come naturally and take little effort. Respect, kindness, patience, on the other hand, takes time and effort. Every day when you have a decision about what to do, say, or think, ask yourself if you're choosing the easy option or the right option. The option to hate or the option to love. For many of us, myself included, to start loving others more means slowing down and thinking throughout our day, thinking at every decision that we have. Usually if I take that time and I'm debating about whether or not to do something, it usually means the option that I don't want to do is the one I should be taking, and that is the option where I'm loving others more than myself. Next part in John 3:16 that shows us a lesson about God's love is the world, that God loves unconditionally. The Greek word for world is cosmos, and it's defined as the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God, and they're hostile to the cause of Christ. The amazing thing about God's love is that it applies to the worst of all people. Most people in religions believe that to gain acceptance, love, and forgiveness from God, that you need to do something, sacrifice something, to be a better person. But why did Jesus die on the cross for us? Why did he give us that sacrifice for all our sins? Because he loves us, and he loves us before we were saved, before we're good, and while we were sinners. The before is the important part. We often forget the importance of when God loves us. He loves us when we are sinners, before we have done anything good. That part, the before part, is the amazing and unique part that we don't see anywhere else in the world. The application to what God has done for us is simple but hard. To love, give, and sacrifice to others who have hurt us, who has lied to us, stole from us, and that can be the hardest thing for one of us to do. But loving the worst kind of people in this world is an amazing way to honor God's love for us and to show others what God's love is. As I was writing this, I thought about, what do you call it, please note or a P.S. on the end. I just wanted to note that when we love others, the worst people in our lives or in the world, that doesn't mean that we let them take advantage of us or let their sins get into our lives. But as we're able and in the right way, we need to show them forgiveness and love. Next part of John 3:16 is that he gave. God loves to give. Concerning forgiveness and acceptance, God will only forgive sin if there is a perfect sacrifice, a scapegoat, who is given to die in place of your sin. We say that God loves us, that he sacrificed, died for us, so that we don't have to do anything to have salvation and eternal life. But that doesn't mean that something needs to be there in place of our sin. Before Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, this was the case. When animals were sacrificed for people's sin, we gave God sacrifices in order to be sinless in the sight of God. The animals gave their life for our sin. Once sin is forgiven, then we can have a relationship with God. Eternal life after that is possible. Praise to God that he is the one that gives, not us. If we were ones that had to give, we could not give enough to equal the requirement of perfection that God has for eternal life. Praise God that we have Jesus' perfect sacrifice given to us once and for all for salvation. We do not need to do anything or sacrifice any longer to have our sins forgiven, because God is the one who gives us all we need for salvation. And in our lives, as we see God give us through his love, we need to be giving people, both to the church and to others. If you've heard of a person named Dave Ramsey, I listen to him a lot, probably drive Tammy, my wife, crazy, because I talk about what I hear on his talk show. But he's a talk show host, and he speaks about money, debt, and Christianity. His goal, the reason why he has the talk show, is he wants people to win with their money, to pay off their debt, and if possible, become millionaires. But why? What, I mean, that's a noble cause. Why does he do that? He wants others to have the opportunities to give. He has, they're called baby steps, baby step 1 through 7, I believe. And the last step is that the goal of a person is to be able to give just amazing things, be able to give lots of money, be able to contribute to causes. But it's not because a person wants to be a millionaire for the purpose of hoarding their money or for people to look up to you. It's for giving. And, you know, that's one of the fun things about his show, is that he puts giving first, even though he talks about money all the time. So in the same way, doesn't mean we have to become millionaires before we give, but giving should be very important in our lives, because so much that God has given to us. The next part in John 3:16 is that his only son, God loves sacrificially. Here in the John 3:16, we see the value of God's love for us. Not only was he willing to give, but we see here in the Bible that he was willing to give the only one of something he had. When you give out of your abundance, that is one thing, but when you give out your poverty, that's quite another. If you had several vehicles, it might be a noble thing if you were to give one of them to a family who had none. But if you were to give them the only vehicle you had, that would be something more than noble. That would be above and beyond the call of duty. That would have been seen as a real sacrifice. How many times have you heard or said to yourself, I can't give you that because it's the only one I got? We probably have all said that, myself included. But we learn here that God, giving God's son, Jesus Christ, he didn't have a backup. He didn't have a second. He didn't have a spare. But he loved us so much that he's willing to give us the one of the thing he only had, and that was his son. Referring to Dave Ramsey again, you might start getting annoyed of that too. His goal is enable, again, people to be financially stable in order to have the ability to donate and give a lot. But sometimes God calls us to give sacrificially. We may be called to leave everything and serve as a missionary. We may be called to die for others. When God calls us to do something amazing, we need to have the open hearts to listen and obey and follow his direction. And when those times come in our lives, we can look at what God has given and be encouraged that we can give sacrificially, just as God has sacrificed for us. Next part is that whosoever. And this teaches us that God's love is available. The really good news about God's love is it's not limited to a select few. It is not available to only those who are born with the right color of skin or were born on the right continent. Nor is God's love difficult to attain. It is not reserved for only the smart or the powerful. The love of God is accessible to whoever believes in Jesus, the only Son of God. When we take this truth into our life, we need to be sharing the gospel, the love of God, to anyone, no matter the circumstance, no matter who we think should be worthy of the Bible and the truth. We need to share the truth of God to whosoever. Next part is of John 3:16 that teaches us a truth is believes in him. faith brings God's love to us. How do we get the love of God? How do we come to the love of God? God loves us even if we don't accept him. But when we do accept God, we are forgiven, our sins are wiped clean, and we receive eternal life. God loves us enough, but we do need to do something. We need to accept, to believe, to have faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. God presents us with a gift of love, a gift of salvation, but in order to have that, we must reach out and ask for it. Should not perish. When God presents the gift of salvation in our lives and we don't accept this gift, we are rejecting God. We are rejecting God's love. And that's a costly decision. God must punish sin. We keep talking about God's love and how amazing and unique that God's love is. But that's only because God loves us because he sacrificed himself in place of our sins. But that doesn't mean God still does not punish sin. Without sacrifice from sin, we are held under God's punishment. And that punishment is an eternity in hell, separated from the love of God. God does have love for us all, but if we don't accept God's love, the punishment that Jesus took for us does not apply to us. If we don't accept the gift of salvation, we cannot have a relationship with God. But have eternal life. While we are living, God gives us the amazing opportunity for forgiveness. At death, if we haven't accepted God, that opportunity is lost forever. Many religions, and notably atheism, believe that this life is all that there is. When we die, we cease to exist. The Bible states that we exist after death, either with God in his presence or in hell away from his presence. Eventually, after the return of Christ, we are given new bodies in the book of Revelations, but we continue nevertheless to exist for eternity. What decision we make in this life has a lot more value when we consider life after death. So will you believe in Jesus, who made the ultimate expression of God's love by giving his life on the cross for your sins? By choosing to believe in Jesus, you have the love of God. You accept the most amazing and unique thing in this world. That love of God is the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. By believing in him, you gain the new life that only he can provide. There was a story of a young man who had quarreled with his father and left home. He continued to keep in touch with his mother and wanted very badly to come home for Christmas. But he was afraid of his father that he would not allow him. His mother wrote to him and urged him to come home, but he did not feel that he could know until he knew his father had forgiven him. Finally, there was no time for more letters. His mother wrote and said that she would talk with the father, and if he had forgiven him, she would tie a white cloth on the tree which grew outside the railroad tracks near his home, which he could see before the train reached the station. If there was no white cloth, it would be better if he went on. So the young man started home. As the train near drew his home, he was nervous, so he said to his friend who was traveling with him, "I can't bear the look. Sit in my place and look out the window. I'll tell you what the tree looks like, and you tell me if there was a white cloth on it or not." So his friend changed places with him and looked out the window. After a bit, the friend said, "Oh, yes, I see the tree." The son asked, "Is there a white cloth tied to it?" For a moment, the friend did not say anything. Then he turned, and in a very gentle voice, he said, "There's a white cloth tied to every limb of that tree." Don't take the idea of love that God loves you lightly. Make it the cornerstone of your faith, your actions, and your life. Share it with others and act it out with others. amazing love, such as God has given us, will also be shown to others if we care that much about it.